This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and here we are, and are we glad. If you were listening 40 years ago today, you heard those words spoken by none other than Dave Thompson. He is still on the air at Prairie Public, and it's only possible because of membership support. And we are going to be hearing a profile of Dave Thompson later on in the show. But right now, joining me is Matt Olean. He is our movie critic. You hear him once a week on Main Street as he looks at films and offers some analysis. We are here today to celebrate 40 years and, frankly, to try to get the next 40 years on the air as part of our member drive. The number to call is 800-359-4145, or you can go online to prairiepublic.org. We are doing a dollar-for-dollar match, courtesy of the Rabbi Jeff and his wife, Mindy Glickman. A dollar-for-dollar match up to $10,000. Get your gift in now when you call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145 or give online at prairiepublic.org.
You know, Ashley, Main Street is the home for great conversation every weekday for a fair number of those 40 years. I feel like I've been doing this film review a while now. I can't quite remember when it started, but it's great doing it. We speak with philanthropists, authors, artists, poets, and we also turn to topical issues as well. So you'll hear from health experts, politicians, newsmakers whose decisions have an impact on your life. It's locally, nationally sourced conversations, profiles of the creative class that make Main Street such an interesting and enjoyable listening experience. That's why you're listening right now. Support the work of Ashley and Doug on Main Street, as well as our hardworking producer, Skip Wood, by becoming a sustaining member and getting your contribution doubled. Call or text donate to 1-800-359-4145 or give online at prairiepublic.org. And it's just it's fun celebrating 40 years today, Ashley.
We are so happy to be celebrating 40 years, and so is this couple, the Glickmans, the Rabbi Jeff and Mindy Glickman. They're from Connecticut, but they drove around parts of the country in their RV, Seymour, supporting different causes. They're a fascinating couple, and, well, you just have to hear them talk about why they love doing what they're doing. Rabbi Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
What an honor.
And Mindy, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
And if Seymour could talk, we would want to say hello to Seymour as well.
Seymour is lovely.
I bet Seymour would.
Seymour does talk.
Oh, and? What's he saying after all of these days on the road together?
Well, Seymour took a little bit of a break, and Seymour's back on our driveway today, and we're very excited. Seymour got a bath, ready to roll.
So we are having the Glickmans on, and including Seymour, who is an RV, to talk about this Turn to the Wonderful. This is the name of the Glickman's blog, and it's part of the Tour to the Wonderful. This was driving around the United States, looking for ways to connect with people on a deeper level and looking for causes to support. And I was on the website, and it says here, Jeff, when we set out, we had a general idea of where we needed to be, but the itineraries in pencil, often changing based on which public broadcasting station, United Way, Synagogue, or ACLU responded to our last-minute outreach. Have you always been this sort of mix of little bit planned but mostly spontaneous?
That man of faith, I guess. We were really... You talk about where you get direction from, because the direction that you go and how you're oriented. And we really drew direction from an idea that just hit me about a year ago. It hit me like a freight train. And it was an idea that it's kind of simple. It's things that happen far away affect us locally. And so if there's an exotic disease far away and they treat it well or they don't treat it well, it really affects us. If a community feeds their people lies, it really affects us wherever we are. And then I heard a story on NPR. We happen to be big NPR fans, by the way.
Thank you.
It was a guy who owned a restaurant, and he said, you know, this has been a bad year, but we're not looking for a donation. We're not looking for a handout or a tax break. All we want is customers.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, that's kind of deep. And we looked at our savings, and we had done kind of well. And we said, what are we really saving it for, if not for a rainy day? And this is, the country is hurting so bad, and there's such divisions. And so we sold off about 15% of our net worth, because we said, rather than invest in stocks, it's time to invest in people. And we didn't need to get our name on a plaque anywhere. And that idea of being a customer, not a donor, really appealed to us. And I thought, what would happen if we were customers for things that we really liked? And so we really, really like NPR. And you guys, by the way, in North Dakota, you have a really good one in Prairie Republic. Ashley and Skip, just awesome.
Well, thank you.
We thought, how can you be like a regular customer of NPR? And it's to be a member. But we're already members in Connecticut.
Sure.
And we thought, but what happens far away affects us? What would happen if we became a member at every single NPR affiliate in the United States? Would that be crazy? Would there be something? So,
how many coffee mugs fit in an RV?
That is so true. We found that there was something so fascinating, because when we call, I have to be honest, I've never been to North Dakota, and it's not like we're shoving our thoughts, you know, or our desires onto you. We want to help you do what you're doing a little bit. We want to be on your team. We want to support you and partner with you to do what you're doing. And the response has been, oh my gosh, someone noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been much larger than the dollar amount. So I could tell your listeners, you might be amazed. You know, of course you should be a member of your public radio station, but what would happen if you called up Mississippi Public Broadcasting and say, I've never been to Mississippi, but I want to help you out, or Hawaii Public Broadcasting, or somewhere you've never been? Call them up and say you want to be a member. It'll blow you away, and it'll blow them away.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, and as part of the tour, you happen to bring up Mississippi. We on our tour, we stopped at the NPR station, at the public broadcasting affiliate in Jackson. And we, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, but did we learn that that little office covered all of the radio broadcasts, the NPR, for the whole state?
Right, 14 people in the whole newsroom. How many do you have in at Prairie Republic?
Let's just say 14 would be a lot.
There you go. And you cover the whole state.
We
right?
cover the whole state. We have 3 people who work on Main Street, and we have 3 in our news team. And then we have a couple of people who work in music and in traffic. And then we have a director of radio for the whole state.
Yes. Yeah, we found it so interesting. And we would never have known that if we hadn't added visiting stations to our agenda.
Hmm.
And it was really very memorable. The one we met in Mississippi, I mean, like you said, you noticed, we're very spontaneous, but it was pandemic and people were either working from home and they were willing to see us at all hours. And that particular night, we went to visit the station And it was 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We met outside in a church parking lot, and it was freezing cold. Mm-hmm. But it was so important to meet the people, and we ended up spending hours with them. We found a comfortable spot. And, you know, we're so proud of what you guys are doing. And
yeah. Real American heroes, nothing less.
I saw on your website, turntothewonderful.com, that you wanted to be asking United Ways across the country, what are the greatest needs in their individual communities? And then you wanted to ask NPR stations, what is it that people need to hear but have a hard time hearing?
All right, Ashley, let me think of how to word this. Ashley, what are some things that you think people need to hear but have a hard time hearing?
Maybe we don't need to eat so much sugar, don't need to buy so many things. You're part of a society. It's not all about you. I don't know.
There you go.
Well, keep promoting that. I think that's an important thing.
Did you hear elaborations on that, or something totally unexpected?
No, you were unique. No one delved into the carb thing.
And, well, that's what I'm working on right now. So.
We heard things like people need to hear from valid sources.
Mm.
That was a big one. We need to hear that. America has a lot of great things, and you don't need to be so individualistic. You could be more tolerant and going with the flow a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
We heard people don't need to be so scared, that this is probably the safest time in the history of the world, because anywhere you go, you got a contraption in your pocket that if you fall and break your leg, you'll get someone there in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of safety.
But you are going out in the world during a pandemic, so how do you find this balance of other people's safeties and, you know, living collectively, but trying not to be scared to the point of you're living in a constant stress state, or scared to the point that you're using it to, I don't know, virtue signal or judge other people for their behavior.
I think that was part of one of the things that we realized was that there's a lot of loneliness. The pandemic, you know, and if there was anything we could do to help alleviate loneliness, we also added a level of meeting people along the way that might have needed a visit. So we stopped and, for instance, one of the synagogues we stopped in, and this all took place during January. But January of 2021 was everybody was on edge. You know, there had been an election. There was an insurrection. There was a lot going on. And we visited people, and we didn't even go inside. We were outside. But in one case, we stood very far away across the street from these people.
Yeah.
And just having met with somebody that they knew in person, even though it was far away, just changed their outlook.
Yeah, what did you learn about the power of connection and interpersonal communication when you have multiple different layers here? One, you're a stranger visiting these places, and two, it's during a pandemic, there is heightened fear of close proximity. Mm-hmm. Does it change your approach at all on interpersonal relationships?
Well, there's a word that I heard, or a phrase. It's called shared suffering.
Mm.
And it's a very optimistic term. The pain has been horrific, and the divides and the are unlike I've ever seen in America. But we all know stories of suffering through this. It's something that links us. There's much more that links us together than differentiates us.
Mm-hmm.
And people, whatever, that was a big lesson we found. Mindy, did you want to add?
Yeah, I do. We did. We we met one man who said, strangers are just friends you haven't yet met. And I think that along our trip, we met a lot of strangers who we now call friends. And right now I'm concerned about a new friend of ours that we met in Louisiana. This horrible storm Ida came in. And this is after we visited this community. They're so resilient. They were hit right after, during the pandemic in August with a storm that tore off their roofs. And then within 2 months, another one came in and dumped water there. Yeah. And now they're getting hit again. And it gives us a close connection to places that are far from us, but now we feel close to them.
How do you stop from being overwhelmed by the amount of need there is in the world?
That's really the essence of one of our lessons here. One of my kids, I was walking through a place that was particularly a lot of litter, and my little boy started kicking a can. And when we were leaving that street, I told him, you have to go pick up that can. And he said, well, why? There's so much there. Why do I have to pick up that one? Do I have to pick them all up? What would you have answered? So I turned to our tradition, and our tradition says, you don't have to do everything, but you can't walk away from it. You got to do something. And that can you brought into your circle of awareness. And so now you have to deal with it. In Leviticus, it says, don't stand and do nothing when your neighbor bleeds. If you didn't see it, you don't have an obligation, but if you see it, you have an obligation to do something. And what we did is we increased the amount of things that we see. We kicked a lot of cans. And some would say, just like as your question implies, Ashley, that, well, gee, that's why would you want to do that? Now you have to do things for them. You have to be involved with them. And I think to be aware of things in the world and to respond to them, maybe that's why we were put here.
And I like to use the word get. Now we get to help. Yeah. And we learn that if you feel like, oh, I got to help. But if before you set out on whatever the journey it is it the day, the week, the year, the life, you already set aside what you can give, what you're willing to give. It's easier to give because it's there. It's like this is already earmarked to give. And then if your eyes are open and your circle of awareness is expanding, you have this gift and you get to give. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's sort of like doing sit-ups and you get stronger in your core the more you practice giving from your heart. The bigger the space around your heart gets, I think.
Yeah, it's a muscle, and we get to exercise your muscle. And while you're doing that, you become so grateful, too. Mm-hmm. It's like for all the blessings that we have. And so we're also exercising our gratitude muscles, you know. And it's
Ashley, I have a question for you. Let's say that there was someone named Sally Smith, and you went up to Sally and said, Sally, I think you ought to be a member of Prairie Public. And she says, okay. You would tell her thank you, right?
Absolutely.
Well, our Jewish tradition says that's sort of backwards.
Hmm.
Because when Sally gives to Prairie Public, all of the work that you're doing makes it very easy for her to be connected to the world. It makes it very easy for her to, because of her donation, to touch more people, to enlighten them, to help them hear what's going on and be connected to more people. Our tradition says that the beggar that knocks on your door does more to help you than you do to help the beggar. That really, Sally ought to be saying thank you to you for making her donation so effective and for connecting her to the world. If Sally didn't give to you, she would shrivel up a little bit as a person. But she, because she gives to you, she becomes more of the Sally Smith that she's intended to be. You're helping her be more Sally. And the same is true for all of your listeners.
What sticks out in your mind as when you really felt I became a better version of Jeff? And Mindy, I'll ask that to you as well.
When I met Mindy. When I met Mindy, I said, life has taken a turn to the wonderful.
And Mindy?
Oh, that's it? So what was your, repeat your question?
What's a moment in your life where you had this, when you gave, when you were vulnerable and you became a better version of yourself?
Oh, boy. I think that I'm still growing. I don't know that I can point to one moment. It's just a process of figuring out what each day brings and how I can bring goodness to each day. Becoming a parent. There's so many times.
I look forward to hearing more of these moments as I go to turntothewonderful.com, and I encourage all our listeners to go there as well. And definitely check out the podcast on Spotify. Thank you so much for your time today, Jeff and Mindy Glickman.
Thank you. You guys are amazing.
Yep. Thanks.
Well, we love conversations like that on Pray Public. I love personally to hear from anyone who is passionate and engaged in this world. And frankly, that's what we think a lot of our listeners are, and especially those listeners who turn it up to 11. There we go. I'll give you a movie reference.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, you got it. Turn it up to 11. They go from being listeners to becoming members. You are supporting a service like this when you call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145 or when you give online at prairiepublic.org.
Yeah, what a great story. The Glickmans hear us, call in, donate, and what a match. What a match, right?
$10,000. $10,000.
But these are the things that happen on public radio and the things we love to hear, love to see. It's your opportunity now to call in and do what the Glickmans did. 1-800-359-4145. It's just a great thing. I love doing my film reviews every week. Ashley and Doug do such a great job on Main Street. Our fantastic producer, Skip Wood. This is why people like the Glickmans heard us and said, this is worth my time, this is worth my money to call in right now. Make that pledge of support right now at 1-800-359-4145. Our phone volunteers would love to hear from you. And you can make that donation, whatever you can fit into your budget is great. We love doing Main Street Monday through Friday. And again, do what the Glickmans did. Put a value on it. Give us a call, 800-359-4145. Consider the sustaining membership as well.
And one membership level that we would like to suggest in honor of 40 years is $40 a month. Boy, talk about powering a lot of conversation that will come in the months on Main Street. And it's getting doubled. So really, by the time it gets to us, it's as if we're getting $80 a month. And we have some pretty great thank you gifts this time around. So think back to 1981 and all of the amazing graphics and colors and just like flashing on the screen and all those things that we were wearing that were sort of questionable. Well, you can get a pair of Prairie Public 40th anniversary socks, complete with this 1981 sort of theme. We'll also send you a coffee mug that has a boombox and a tape player on it. I mean, that's amazing. When was the last time anybody played a tape? And so you are just supporting us on this and looking great while you do it. You'll also get a copy of the second edition of the Dakota Date Book. So that is at $40 a month. But if some other amount works for you, well, of course, we will be happy to put that to work, bringing you great programming. 800-359-4145. Still to come on Main Street, we get a profile of Dave Thompson. But now it's time for the news.
For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster. 58 pregnant cows have been found dead in central North Dakota. The Stutsman County Sheriff's Office and North Dakota Stockmen's Association are asking the public's help in solving the case near Jamestown. There's a reward of up to $40,000 for information that leads to a conviction of the person or persons responsible. Dr. Gerald Stucka is an NDSU Extension Livestock Stewardship Specialist. He looked for possible causes for the deaths.
Whenever you come across a mortality that's this high, in other words, 43% of that entire herd was dead, found dead. Nothing sick, nothing showing clinical signs except for the abortions that occurred in the survivors. When you have a death loss at that high, your mind starts working, well, how can this happen? And over such a short period of time.
Brian Amundson owns the beef cattle, which were grazing on pasture land on a national wildlife refuge.
We go through lots of challenges. We've overcome those challenges. We continue to operate a family operation. Pride ourselves on doing a good job being animal husbandry and stewardship of our lands and our cattle.
Amundson also had two hay bale fires in mid-April, and it isn't known if those incidents are connected. Sanford Health in Fargo is elevating its pandemic response as COVID-19 cases increase. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Doug Griffin says the hospital is nearly as busy as it was during the surge in cases last November.
And our children's hospital is at maximum capacity as well. So Sanford Fargo has reactivated a higher stage in our pandemic surge plan. We are reassigning medical staff, clinical resources, and equipment based on our greatest need.
Griffin says Sanford Health Fargo soon will need to be limiting elective surgeries. He says 95% of the people currently hospitalized for COVID-19 are unvaccinated. And the start of September also marks the start of Hunger Action Month.
During this dedicated month, we encourage everyone to take action every day to help us end hunger together.
Melissa Soblick is president and CEO of Great Plains Food Bank. The food bank serves food shelves across North Dakota and Clay County, Minnesota. Soblick says Hunger Action Month comes as Great Plains Food Bank begins the first weeks of its ambitious strategic plan. She says the plan involves three basic steps.
The first is ending hunger today, putting food on tables tonight. The second is ending hunger tomorrow, where we're addressing the root causes of hunger. And the third is ending hunger for good, building a future where hunger doesn't exist. And each and every one of you can help us end hunger together by taking action.
Soblick says taking action can range from simple steps to more elaborate events. She says the food bank has developed a calendar showing how people can make a difference 30 ways in 30 days.
It can be educating a neighbor, telling two people about hunger. It can be signing up to be an advocate. It can be hosting a food drive. It could be doing a virtual food drive or a fun drive on Facebook. There are just a lot of different ways and a lot of big ways and small ways that everyone can make a difference.
More details on how to get involved with Hunger Action Month can be found on the Great Plains Food Bank website. That's greatplainsfoodbank.org. For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster.
Hey, it's A. Martinez, new co-host of NPR's Morning Edition. Joining a new community can be hard. You have to learn the names, you have to remember faces, and figure out all those inside jokes. Luckily, joining the community of public radio supporters is easy. You don't have to connect names to faces, and we keep the inside jokes to a minimum. All you have to do is remember how to give.
Call 1-800-359-4145 or join us online at prairiepublic.org.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg. Whether you've lived in North Dakota all your life or only for a little spell, chances are you recognize the voice of Prairie Public's Morning Edition anchor, Dave Thompson. His reassuring presence signals that even in tumultuous times, everything's going to be okay. You might know he is a seasoned journalist. His beat at the state capitol is legendary. Even Governor Doug Burgum said as much. Later this month, Prairie Public is marking a special milestone, and no coincidence, so is Dave Thompson. Prairie Public's radio operations manager, Eric Dethridge, has this profile of someone you're about to know a lot better.
I have to tell you one of my favorite stories.
Do tell.
This guy, his name is Bill Thompson. No relation, by the way. But I heard from his co-workers at the Falkirk Mine that he celebrated Groundhog Day because that was the day he had quit smoking. He calls me, and he said he's going to Punxsutawney. And I said, do you have a cell phone? He said, yes, I have a cell phone. Would you be my eyes and ears there? Would you do a live report for me? He said, sure. So we cut away from network, and we went to Punxsutawney Phil with Bill on scene giving us a report. It was great.
What is it that wakes you up? What's by your side? An old-fashioned alarm clock? A smartphone? What gets you up out of that slumber?
I have two alarms. I've got an old-fashioned alarm clock and my Droid, which is set. But they're both set at 3 o'clock, and somehow I wake up 15 minutes before I have to.
We'll call it anticipatory anxiety. Those in radio who have had morning gigs know you often wake up before your alarm and your backup alarm. Well, thank goodness for his fabled coffee habit. Dave Thompson has been waking up North Dakotans for 40 years. We celebrate his anniversary and Prairie Public's humble beginnings as a statewide radio network on September 25th with a night out at the Radisson in Bismarck.
I'm looking forward to getting together with a lot of people that I might or might not know, but they know me through the radio, and just talking about things, talking about the station and how things have evolved. But I will tell you, the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me segment, when they're doing Not Dave's Job, I'm a little scared, and maybe I should be, but it could be a lot of fun. Here's what started my career. Picture a 6-year-old boy getting a Christmas gift. And the Christmas gift was one of those old AM transistor radios. But I was absolutely hooked because, A, you could hear the local voices, but B, you could tune in and you could hear voices from far away, especially at night when the propagation was better. And I fell in love.
Dave is a Bismarck kid through and through, the son of Dwayne, a shipping clerk at Super Value Stores, and one of the first computer operators there, and apparently it was a big computer. It took up an entire wall. And Anna, who manned the cord board or switchboard at AT&T.
One moment, please.
He went to what was then called Mary College. It's now the University of Mary. He later transferred to the University of North Dakota, graduated in 1978 with a degree in speech with an emphasis in radio and television, and got a job at KFJM, one of the oldest radio stations in North Dakota, and later our Grand Forks affiliate of Prairie Public. His first gig there wasn't exactly newsy.
They had a program called Old Time. Old Time was a polka show. I was assigned to Sunday mornings, and at that time, we simulcast it with the new FM, which was pretty much brand new at that time. So we had a 2-hour polka show on Sunday morning. Then we did a request show on Wednesday morning, and three of us did that, and that was an hour. So my first job in radio was spinning polkas.
Well, fast forward to the birth of Prairie Public on the radio, September 1st, 1981. All ears were on the broadcast debut of KCND in Bismarck, and Dave's triumphant homecoming radio gig nearly got off to a disastrous start.
I was in master control, and they had a little control panel there to turn on the transmitter. And all I had to do was push an up button. So I sit down, and about 20 minutes beforehand, I pushed a button. I pushed the wrong button. I pushed the down button, and I turned off the plates for the transmitter. And I put my head in my hand, and I said, are you kidding me? But our chief engineer burst out laughing, and he said, don't worry, we've got an engineer at the transmitter just in case. So he called the transmitter. We were back on to get the plates warmed up and to get us on the air. And then he looked at me and laughed again and said, you had one job. You had one job.
This is NPR's Morning Edition.
Along with being a new North Dakota affiliate for NPR,
the best new television show this fall, according to Judy Flander, is about a big city police department. It's called Hill Street Blues.
The first lead story on KCND Bismarck centered around an issue that's one of those timeless concerns for many North Dakotans.
We were more of a local station in those days. We were talking about the Bismarck City Council and a proposal to raise the mill levy, to, you know, raise taxes on local property taxes. And then there was a story out of the state government about a potential for a special session, which did not happen. And then we did follow-up because in 1980, the voters of North Dakota put in the extra oil taxes. It was exciting to get on the air and actually read news.
Good morning.
My hair looked like I was right out of high school. My hair was down to almost shoulder length. We had guests watching me through a glass window. When I got off the air in the 5:30 newscast, they gave me a glass of champagne and we toasted. We got it on the air.
There was a lot of hard work behind the scenes to make that first day possible by Dave, the engineers who got the reel-to-reel cart machines, which, if you're old enough to remember, are like 8 tracks, and audio boards ready to roll, not to mention all the work at the transmitter site. So along with all that hard work, Prairie Public's first radio station didn't just happen. There actually had to be a demand for the product.
Well, this is the way that it kind of unfolded. It started by a group of Bismarck people. They wanted Bismarck to have public radio. So it was actually an independent group that started putting it together. And then Prairie Public got involved. And there was a broader vision of bringing public radio to other parts of the state. The minute Bismarck got on the air successfully, there was already plans about putting low-powered translators in. And so they put a low-powered translator into Dickinson and then got a full-power license for Minot. So Minot was the second full-power station on the air for Prairie Public, and it built from there.
Then in the late 1990s, Prairie Public developed a partnership with the University of North Dakota and North Dakota State University, and KFJM and KUND in Grand Forks and KDSU in Fargo became part of the network you know today.
I never, ever dreamed when I started with Prairie Public back in 1981 we would become a statewide network.
Dave honed his craft by developing his well-known beat at the state capitol. He is the go-to journalist for legislative news out of North Dakota, and one of his audio signatures, you'll hear that in the story sometimes, that lets you know exactly where you are, is the ding from the elevator in the capitol that signals right away that this man has access to lawmakers conducting your business. As would any North Dakota journalist, Dave also reported on agriculture, the booms and busts of North Dakota's energy industries, and, of course, natural disasters, most notably floods, each of which left an impression on him. But what perhaps left the biggest imprint was an incident that became a national story out of Medina, North Dakota.
One of the biggest stories was, unfortunately, the tragedy when the two marshals were shot in the Gordon Call incident in 1983. I got somebody on the phone, and he confirmed that two marshals had been hit. And the poor guy was in tears, so I let him go. He says, I apologize for that. And I said, hey, you gave me what I needed. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How do you see your role as a journalist covering North Dakota politics and politicians?
You develop relationships with the people you cover, knowing full well it has to be arm's length because you really don't become friends. You might be friendly, and you might understand that, you know, they'll get a fair shake from you.
We've talked about his fair-minded approach to public radio journalism, but lest we forget, Dave Thompson is your companion when you're driving to work or getting the kids ready for school in the morning, or maybe you were one of those public radio kids, a captive audience in the car seat thanks to your very tasteful parents. Dave says his on-air style has evolved from straight newsman to that of a friend who's simply telling you what's going on in the plainest language.
You know, I'm the voice they hear in the morning, and I'm not yelling at him or telling him to go buy the latest doohickey or anything like that, or here's something, you know, at 125 decibels. They like it because it's a conversation. And that's what we're trained to do in radio. When you get behind a microphone, you focus on one person, and that sticks with me all the time.
Well, now let's jump into the shallow end of Dave Thompson's profile and open up the Tiger Beat portion. If you're not old enough to remember that, it was a heartthrob magazine that asked really deep questions. Not favorite movie?
Wag the Dog.
You want me to produce your war?
Yep, Dustin Hoffman. I thought he was brilliant in that movie.
Dave says he likes 2 books on the consummate radio newsman Edward R. Murrow.
Good night. And good luck.
Not surprising, including by former Morning Edition national anchor Bob Edwards. And as for a favorite song, he likes a few, like Van Morrison's Moondance, and for its sublime rock orchestration,
Legend of a Mind, Moody Blues, is a song about Timothy Leary, and I just like the way it's structured.
Ah, speaking of music.
Everybody who knows me knows I'm a karaoke freak. I do Don't Fear the Reaper. I don't do cowbells, but somebody has a cowbell. Seasons don't fear the reaper, nor do the wind, the sun, or the rain.
Now, if you happen to see Dave out and about living his best karaoke life, you might also hear him belt out the early MTV favorite Mexican Radio by Walla Voodoo. MTV also launched 40 years ago. The bright colors and often upbeat music contrasted with a pretty intense decade. We're living through another pretty intense time in our history, and we will mark the 20-year anniversary of another moment later this month when it felt like the world was falling apart. Dave Thompson was in your radio for that too, giving you the view from North Dakota, and he'll be there on your smartphone and smart speaker for whatever happens tomorrow. And are we glad?
What I have for aspiring journalists, don't go into a story with preconceived notions. And follow this simple rule. Get it first right, but get it right first.
And that was our own Eric Dethridge with his profile on Prairie Public's Dave Thompson, a welcome presence on your radio every morning, officially now for 4 decades. And if you ever have wondered where Dave likes to go in North Dakota to recharge his batteries, he recommends Icelandic State Park in northeastern North Dakota. And he says the trees and the serenity make it a true hidden gem in our area. Well, Dave, we think that you are a gem of a public radio. We hope you enjoyed that feature on our very own Dave Thompson. Prairie Public has a long history in North Dakota. And because of the demand for public radio and the financial support of our members, we've been able to be on the air for 40 years and grow this into a statewide network along with online services. It's because members have helped pay those bills. We are having a one-day drive today in honor of 40 years. Be a part of this celebration with your brand new membership, or you can make an additional gift. Call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145 or give online at prairiepublic.org. Joining me now is our movie critic, Madeline. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Ashley. I loved listening to Dave's interview, yeah. Finding out about all the things he likes to and favorite movies, favorite books, etc. And, you know, we're talking about sustaining membership, too. For an easy $5 a month sustaining membership, we'll send you a coffee mug, but it's not your typical mug. It's a retro 1981, I was a junior in high school, brightly colored cassette boombox coffee mug. It's got a fun graphic of that most 80s of listening devices and the words "since 1981" scrawled on the cassette tape. In big bold letters, you'll also see the words "Rad Public Radio" and the Prairie Public logo. You want to be sipping something hot in this very cool cup. Call or text donate to 800-359-4145 or give online at prairiepublic.org and get that mug for just $5 a month, which is doubled today. Maybe you've been listening for years. Maybe you've just discovered Prairie Public last week. Whatever the reason, you didn't give before. Now is the perfect time on this anniversary day to pitch in. Does $5 a month sound like a comfortable place to start? I hope so. Prairie Public counts on listener support. It's our largest source of funding. Call now, 1-800-359-4145.
Well, Matt, you said something interesting there, being doubled. What's happening here? This is thanks to that first interview you heard on today's Main Street with Rabbi Jeff and Mindy Glickman, who are donating up to $10,000 in matching funds to get this programming out on the air. Main Street already a bit of a lean operation here. There are just 3 of us. And as you know, Doug Hamilton is out on medical leave. And that means we are working even harder to bring you the news that you deserve, frankly. We are here for you day in and day out, but it is only possible because of this extraordinary group of people that we call members. You have gone from being a passive listener to an active member in Prairie Public. We want to say thank you to you with that great coffee mug, or we have tickets to the 40th anniversary gala coming up. Whatever is your reason for joining Prairie Public, we want to hear from you now. You can call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145 or click and join at prairiepublic.org. Dakota Datebook is next.
Hello, I'm John Harris, President and CEO of Prairie Public Broadcasting. You know, I've been here over 18 years now, and I really enjoy the news and information we provide and our local music. And I'm proud to say, happy 40th anniversary.
This is Dakota Datebook for September 1st. Prairie Public has been broadcasting original and PBS television programs since 1964. But on this date in 1981, Prairie Public added radio when KCND 90.5 FM in Bismarck began broadcasting. From the start, it was a member station of National Public Radio, which had been established 10 years earlier. But KCND was not the start of public radio in North Dakota. Engineering departments at the universities in both Grand Forks and Fargo experimented with radio way back in the early 1920s. The North Dakota Agricultural College, now NDSU, appears to have licensed the station about a year before UND in October of 1922. That license was allowed to expire in 1926, and the college didn't get back into broadcasting until the 50s. In the meantime, they did produce some programming, including informational farm flashes. UND's operation of a station has been nearly continuous since KFJM went on the air in October of 1923. Early programming emphasis was on music, with live broadcasts of UND musicians. The university band closed the very first broadcast with a foxtrot. In 1925, live performances of dinner hour orchestras at the downtown Frederick and Dakota hotels were carried over phone lines to the studio for broadcast across the city. Fast forward to the 1980s and a growing Prairie Public Radio network. Transmitters were added in Dickinson, Minot, and Williston. The fledgling network was known as Prairie Public Radio, but in 1999, Prairie Public partnered with UND and NDSU to form a statewide network called North Dakota Public Radio. Although many listeners still call Prairie Public by those old monikers, the network, now fully operated only by Prairie Public, is known simply as Prairie Public. Today, Prairie Public's radio signals reach almost all of North Dakota, and with the evolution of digital, Prairie Public's radio streams and podcasts can be heard all around the world. Of course, it wouldn't have been possible if not for the support of public radio listeners. So we're taking this Dakota Datebook opportunity on the 40th anniversary of that first flipped switch to say, can we say it enough? A big thank you. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Marie Offit. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from Humanities North Dakota.
Well, we are closing out this Wednesday edition of Main Street. We want to give you one more little opportunity to support us. That is Main Street or anything that you hear on Prairie Public on this, our one-day member drive in support of 40 years on the air for Dave Thompson, for the station that became the home of NPR News for the state of North Dakota. This service is, well, frankly, it's older than I am. I can't even imagine a life without news gathering, without storytelling, without context and analysis. It makes me sad to even think that this service could possibly not exist. But thankfully, we don't have to think like that because it does exist because of the people of the past who supported this service. Now it's your turn to step up and make sure it's here for the next generation. You can call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145 or go online to prairiepublic.org.
If you love listening to Main Street Monday through Friday with Ashley and Doug and our commentaries, our Dakota Date Book, my film reviews, then give us a call. It's that simple. Maybe your membership has lapsed. Consider the sustaining membership when you call. We have some great thank you gifts as well, those retro mugs and things like that from 1981. And do what the Glickmans did. They heard us on the radio, called in, $10,000 to be matched. And I really love the Dave Thompson interview, which, you know, he loves karaoke.
Right.
He loves a lot
and
of things. Interesting guy. I remember meeting Dave in 1987 when I was right out of college at UND and I worked at KFJM in Grand Forks. And I always would trade stories with him in the morning. And then I finally got to meet him because he was in Grand Forks one day. And he's just a mainstay. He's unbiased. He does the job. He gets the job done. Put a price tag on what you think of things like that. Great unbiased journalism, news reporting. Ashley does a great job on Main Street. Our producer, Skip Wood. 1-800-359-4145. Help us mark this 40th anniversary of the radio service of Prairie Public by giving us a call and donating today.
And right now is a fantastic time to make that donation because it is being matched dollar for dollar by the Glickmans. You heard that conversation at the beginning of the show. And not only did they become members in Prairie Public, even though they live in Connecticut, but they are members of every single NPR station in the country. And they also went around supporting local United Ways and ACLUs and synagogues. And they just have this deep commitment to giving. And I love what the rabbi said about how giving makes you a better person. Like, you are deepening this connection that you have with the world and with people. And well, if you don't believe it, just try it. Come in at $5 a month and you might find that you have this sense of ownership that comes with supporting a service like this. Call or text the word donate to 800-359-4145. You can also donate online at prairiepublic.org. Coming up tomorrow on the show, growing food and community. We visit with Jack Wood, who started Growing Together Community Gardens and has recently been honored for his work and dedication to healthy communities. That's coming up tomorrow on Main Street. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day.